Well, good morning. It's good to see you all here this morning. If you would, open your Bibles with me to Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3. Before we begin, let's bow before our Lord together in prayer. Our Father, which art in heaven, holy and reverent is your matchless name. And Father, we dare only come before your throne of grace. We only dare call you our Father in the person of our Lord Jesus Christ. We dare only approach your throne, pleading the obedience of our Lord Christ as our only righteousness. We dare only plead his blood as payment for our sin, to pay the sin debt in full. And Father, how we thank you. Oh, how thankful we are for such a Savior. How thankful we are for such a gospel that you've given us to preach and believe. How thankful we are you've sent it to us. Of all people on earth, you sent your gospel here. You've mixed it with faith as it's been heard, called out your people, preserved and protected them all these many years. Father, how thankful we are. We're so humbled to think of the magnitude of your mercy and grace to us. And Father, we thank you. Father, I pray this morning that you would one more time bless your word. As we look into it, as your gospel is preached, as the name of your son is declared, Father, bless your word. Be pleased, I beg, to reveal your glory this morning through the preaching of your word. Father, enable us, each one of us here this morning, to hear and to believe, to rest in Christ our Savior. Father, we pray a special blessing on our children's classes. They're going on right now. And Father, we also pray for this week of Bible school that you would bless richly. Father, I pray you'd bless our teachers as they have prepared, as they teach, and bless our children. Give them a ready mind and a ready heart to learn and receive the things of our Savior that are taught this week. Father, I beg of you that you'd use this time to plant the seeds of faith in the hearts of our young ones. And in your time, you cause it to grow to faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. Father, we dare not sin against thee in praying for your people that you brought in the time of trouble and trial. That you know the need of your people, wherever they might be found, sick and heartbroken, recovering from surgeries and ailments. Father, we pray you'd be with your people, that you'd comfort their hearts with your presence, until you see fit to lead them out of it. Now, Father, all these things we ask, and we give thanks in that name which is above every name, is for the glory of Christ our Savior, we pray. Amen. I've titled the lesson this morning, Unto Him That's Able. Our text begins Ephesians 3, verse 20. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Now, this verse is such a comfort to me, because I know by God's grace, I can't do anything of my own power. You know, our Lord told us that. He said, I'm the vine, you're the branches. Without me, you can do nothing. And I found I can't. I can't do anything physically. I can't do anything spiritually. But here's our comfort. Our Savior is able. He's able to do everything. Paul says here that our Savior is able to do abundantly above all that we ask or think. Our Lord can do way more than what we ever think that he could. Maybe you're like me. Far too often, I find myself being guilty in prayer of limiting the Lord's ability. And here's how I do that. I make suggestions to the Lord. Boy, Lord, here's this issue. Now, Lord, if you do this. Lord, here's this problem. If you do this, you know. Well, that's limiting the Lord's ability to what my puny mind can think up. The Lord is able to do abundantly better than anything I think up. Any suggestions that I might make to solve the problem. And I'll just use this one example. Wouldn't you say that the Lord parting the Red Sea, so, you know, the Lord led Israel out of Egypt and trapped them at at the Red Sea. That's what Pharaoh thought they were there trapped. And Lord parted the Red Sea so the children of Israel could cross over on dry ground. And then Lord brought that sea in on Pharaoh and his host and destroyed them all. Now, isn't that a way better way for Israel to leave Egypt than we would have dreamed up? I mean, even after the Passover, we would never thought of the Passover, would we? But even after the Passover, we said as well, children of Israel will just leave Egypt, you know, peacefully and calmly. Nobody be chasing, nobody be bothering, and just go straight to the promised land. God's way is exceeding abundantly above anything we dream up, isn't it? Bringing Israel through the Red Sea, that's a demonstration of God's power. Gives us a picture of redemption in the blood. God did abundantly above all that we'd ask or think. Now, Paul says here, God's able. And you know, saving faith believes that God is able. Period. God is able to do whatever he wills. God's able to save me and to keep me saved all by himself. Look at Romans chapter 4 with me for a moment, if you would. This is how God describes the faith of Abraham. Abraham's the father of the faithful, and this is how God describes his faith. He believed God's able. Romans 4, verse 18. Who against hope believed in hope, that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. And be not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead, when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. Now that's saving faith, believing that God is able to perform everything that he promised. Now I looked up this word able that Paul used in our text, the Greek word that's translated able. And I want to look at some places that this word is used in Scripture. And I hope that when we see these things, our souls will be encouraged and comforted to see what the Lord is able to do. Now, if we really believe that the Lord's able, we'll be able to enjoy the blessing of faith even more because we'll rest in Christ the more. And get your fingers loose. I promise you this is going to be a Bible study. When we first started this work, John Chapman said, he said, I don't want to call this Sunday school. He said, I want to call it a Bible class. And that's what this is going to be. We're going to turn to some scriptures and have a Bible class. So first look at Matthew chapter 3. I try to take these them pretty much in order to make it a little easier for us. Matthew chapter 3. The Lord is able to make sinners like you and me to be his children. Matthew chapter 3 verse 7. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees came to his baptism, he said unto them, O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth therefore fruits, meet for repentance, and think not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham to our father. For I say unto you that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. Now if the Lord is able to take stones, rocks, laying on the ground, if he's able to make them the children of Abraham, he sure is able to take sinners like you and me and make us his children. Make us living stones in his house. He's able, isn't he? Now look over at Matthew chapter 8. The Lord is able to heal our sin-sick souls. Yes, he's able to heal our bodies, but more importantly, he's able to heal our sin-sick souls. Matthew 8, verse 2. And behold, there came a leper and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And the word canst there is the same word translated able in our text. This leper saying, Lord, you're able to make me clean. Now, there's no question about the Lord's ability to heal my sin-sick soul. There's no question about his ability to cleanse my soul from all of my sin. The only question is, will he? He got the power, but will he? Well, I'll tell you this, I sure am going to beg him to save me. You know why? He's able to do it. He's able. Then look across the page, or if you got the Authorized Version, turn the page, Matthew chapter 9. This is interesting. There's a connection between believing the Lord is able and Him saving us. Matthew 9, verse 28. And when he was come into the house, the blind men came to him, and Jesus saith unto them, believe ye that I'm able to do this? Now, do you want me to give you sight? Do you believe I'm able to do it? And they said unto him, yea, Lord. Then touched he their eyes, saying, according to your faith, be it unto you. Now, do you believe I'm able? They said, yes. And he said, according to your faith, be it unto you. And they received their sight. Now, there's a connection between believing that the Lord is able and Him saving my soul. There's a connection there. Now, that doesn't mean, oh, I better hurry and work real hard and conjure up faith in myself and make myself believe. No, if there's a connection between saving faith and the Lord actually saving me, my prayer is, Lord, give me that faith. Give me that faith. I believe. Help thou mine unbelief. Faith is a gift of God. Lord, would you give that faith to me so I'd be saved? Then look at Matthew chapter 10. Now we know this. The Lord is able to save. We know that. But it's also important for us to take note of this. He's also able to damn unbelief. Matthew 10, verse 28. And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Now, I really don't like to think about hell. I don't like to talk about damnation in hell. But we do have to talk about it, as the Scriptures talk about it. If we're going to deal honestly with Scriptures, we have to talk about it. The Lord will damn those who refuse to believe on Him. And that's what every last one of us deserve. By nature, we refuse to believe on Him. Then here's my prayer. Lord, be merciful to me. Don't give me what I deserve. I know you're able. I know you'd be just if you did it. But Lord, would you be merciful to me? Would you be merciful? And here's a very good reason to pray that way. Mark chapter 2. Here's a very good reason to pray. Lord, would you not give me what I deserve? Lord, would you be pleased to save me? Here's a good reason to pray that way. The Lord is able to forgive sin. Mark chapter 2, verse 5. When Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, son, thy sins be forgiven thee. Now, you know, these friends, they brought this sick man, you know, to the Lord, wanting the Lord to heal him of his palsy. And the Lord says, son, thy sins be forgiven thee. But there were certain of the scribes sitting there and reasoning in their hearts, why does this man thus speak blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God only? And that word can there is the same word translated able in our text. Who is able to forgive sins but God only? And immediately when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they so reasoned within themselves, he said unto them, why reason ye these things in your heart? Whither is it easier to say to the sick of the palsy, thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, arise, take up thy bed and walk? But that you may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins, he saith to the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, arise, take up thy bed and go thy way into thine house. And immediately he rose, took up the bed and went forth before them all, insomuch that they were amazed and glorified God, saying, we never saw it on this fashion. Our God has the power. He's able to forgive sin. And here's how he forgives sin. It's by making that sin to not exist. He puts it away under his blood. So there's no reason left for God to damn his people. That's why their sin's forgiven. There's no sin to damn them. So my prayer is, Lord, do what you're able to do. Would you forgive my sin? Now look over at Mark chapter 5. Our Lord is able to tame our old man. You know, the great grief of every believer is, I've got to live with this old man. This old man of flesh, this civil war going on inside me. That old man tries to make me quit trusting Christ every day. He tries to make me trust my own works every day. He tries to get me to look anywhere but Christ all of the time. What am I going to do with him? He's just too much for me. Our Lord is able to tame that old man by giving us a new man. A new man who rules over the old man. And here's a picture of it. Mark chapter 5, verse 2. And when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwellings among the tomb, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains. Now, no man could. No man was able to bind this man. Now, you know the story. And that word could, by the way, it's the same word able translated in our text. No man could tame this. He's a wild man. Nobody had the ability to do it. And you all know the story. The Lord cast the legion, the unclean spirit out of this man. In verse 15, and they come to Jesus and see him that was possessed with the devil and had the legion sitting, clothed, and in his right mind. And they were afraid. Now what we see there is a picture of the new birth. Here's this new man. He's sitting. He's tamed, isn't he? Where is he sitting? At the feet of the Savior. He's not naked anymore. He's clothed. He's clothed in the righteousness of Christ. And he's in his right mind. God's given him a new mind. The mind of Christ. He believes Christ. He loves Christ. He trusts Christ. That's a picture of the new birth. The new man is the one who's in his right mind. Who's clothed in the righteousness of Christ. Who sits learning of Christ. And that new man rules over the old man. Now you think, well, my old man, he's not tamed. He's as strong as ever. He's as vile as ever. He's fighting as hard as ever. Well, that's true. But the new man rules over the old man in this way. Yes, that old man's going to cause you grief all the time. How he does it, doesn't he? But he can't make you look away from Christ. Oh, he tries to get you to trust your words. But he can't do it because the new man won't let him. Now our Lord's able to cause us to be born again, to give us a new man that won't trust anyone but Christ, anyone or anything. Now look at John chapter 6. Our Lord is able to draw all of his people to himself. John chapter 6. Verse 44. Our Lord says, no man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him, and I'll raise him up at the last day. Now that word can, no man can come to me, is the same word able in our text. No man by nature is able to come to Christ. You know, our nature is so dead in sin. We don't have the ability to come to Christ. We're so dead in sin, the ability is not in us to believe on Christ. We cannot do it. But the Lord's able. The Lord's able to draw all of his people to himself. And you know how he does it? By showing them Christ lifted up. A man's going to preach Christ lifted up. And our Savior said, and all, when they see me lift, they'll come to me. They'll be drawn to me. That's the preaching of the gospel. When Christ is lifted up and magnified, his people will come. You don't have to beg them to. They will come. They won't be able to help it. And that is such an encouragement in preaching and bringing our loved ones to hear the gospel. You know, this is the week of Bible school. I don't teach a class like our teachers do, but I got 10, 15 minutes with the kids before they go back to their classes. I'm telling you, it's the most nerve-wracking, tough preaching I do all year long. I mean, I'm excited about it. I love this week. I love this time with the kids. But I'm telling you, it's the toughest preaching because I know they don't know the Lord. And you don't know how desperately I want them to. Oh, I want to be able to present Christ to them so they'll believe him. Oh, And it just seems like a lost cause, doesn't it? You have friends, you have loved ones that don't know the Lord. They won't believe Him. They have no interest, and you can't make them have any interest, can you? Well, here's our encouragement to keep inviting them to come hear the gospel, to keep giving them we used to give tapes, now we give a link, right, to the sermon audio or something. Here's a reason to keep bringing our children to hear the gospel. Here's the reason we keep having Bible school. It's time to teach our little ones. We don't have to draw somebody to Christ. We don't have to convince them to believe on. We can't anyway, so it's good that we can't make them believe Christ. But our Lord's able. Our Lord's able. Now that's an encouragement to keep preaching Christ. Our Lord's able. And I tell you, if He's going to give somebody faith in Christ, He's going to reveal Christ to them and make them fall in love with Him, make them believe Him, He's going to do it by somebody preaching Christ to them. Somebody's going to tell them who Christ is so they'll believe Him and love Him. All we got to do is preach Christ. I mean, I say that like it's no big deal. All we got to do is declare the gospel. God will draw His people to Himself. He's able. He's able. Then look at John chapter 10. Our Lord is able to make His people persevere to the end. John chapter 10, verse 29. My Father, which gave them Me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of My Father's hand. Now we think, I'm so thankful the Lord saved me. The Lord's revealed Himself to me. The Lord's given me faith in Christ. There's a long way between here and glory. I mean, potentially it's a short way, but could be a long way, couldn't it? Could be a long way. Right? If you live a normal lifespan, you got a long way to go, brother. When I look at myself, this is what I know. I won't persevere to the end. Now, what's going to comfort my heart? Our Lord is able to save His people, and He's able to keep them. No man can pluck them out of my hand. No man. Of all the earthly circumstances we'll meet between now and when this body breathes its last breath, I promise you this, our Lord's able to keep us through all of them. Don't turn here. Let me read it to you in Romans chapter 8, verse 38. For I'm persuaded. Paul said, I'm confident of this, that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Our Lord is able to cause His people to persevere to the end. He'll keep them. He'll keep them. All right, now look at Acts chapter 13. You know, I just was talking here about how the Lord's able to keep and preserve His people. That's why Jude could so confidently say, now unto Him that's able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of His glory with exceeding joy. You know why he's so confident of that? Our God's able. He's able. And here's the next thing, Acts 13. Our Lord is able to justify sinners. Acts 13, verse 38. Be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man, is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins, and by him all that believe are justified from all things from which you could not be justified by the law of Moses. And that word could, the same word translated able in our text. The law is not able to justify us because we can't keep it. The law would justify us if we kept it perfectly, but we cannot. We don't have the ability to be justified by the law because we can't do it. But the Word of God says this forgiveness of sins is preached, this justification from our sins is preached to you through this man. We're not able, but the Lord Jesus Christ has already justified His people. And justified means to be made without sin. Now, if all of our works of the law, all our attempts to keep the law, that's sin, isn't it? Well, we're not able to justify ourselves by our works. The message of Christ is the Lord justifies His people. Not only is He able, He's done it. He's justified his people by grace through faith in him. If you would be justified, quit your works. Quit your works of the law and trust Christ. Just trust him. He's able. Now look at Acts chapter 20. Our Lord is able to build up his people in the faith. Acts 20, verse 32. Here the Apostle Paul is giving his final words of instruction to the elders of the church at Ephesus. And this is what he tells them. And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them that are sanctified. Now, how does the Lord build up his people like this? It's by the preaching of the gospel. In Romans chapter 16, you don't have to turn there. Let me read it to you quickly. Romans 16, this is what Paul says. He's closing out his letter to the church at Rome. Now to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ. Here's how God builds up his people. Here's how he establishes them. It's by the preaching of Christ. He builds up his people. He establishes them so they will not be moved. Oh, you know, when we first think, now we got to be established. Here's what we think. By nature, this is, well, I've got to be really diligent. You know, boy, I can't miss a service. I've got to give. I've got to look for every opportunity, you know, to serve. And I've just really got to listen and make sure. Now, I'm not trusting anything but Christ. And maybe the more I learn about Scripture, the more I'll be settled and made firm. And it's not by our works. This is not something we do. The Lord establishes his people. The Lord builds them up and makes them strong in the faith. See, the Lord's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. Isn't the Lord's way so much better? Our way to establish ourselves puts us to work. God's way to establish his people puts us to rest. Oh, it's exceeding abundantly better, isn't it? Just preach the word. Just preach the word. If you would be established, if you would be built on Christ, just be here to hear the word. Hear the word preached. That's why Paul told Timothy, he said, Timothy, you've had a blessing. From a child, you've known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise unto salvation. They're able to build you up. All right, now look at Romans chapter 8. The Lord Jesus Christ is able to please the Father. He's able. Romans 8, verse 8. So then, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But you're not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he's none of his. That word in verse 8, cannot, is the same word translated able in our text. You and I in the flesh, we're not able to please God. We're not able to do it. It's impossible. But the Lord Jesus Christ has already pleased the Father. It's not just that he's able to do it. He's already done it. Now quit trying to make God happy with you by your works. Trust Christ. He's already pleased the Father. Now look at Romans chapter 14. The Lord's able to make his people stand and not fall away from Christ. Romans 14, verse 4. Who art thou that judgest another man's servant? To his own master he standeth or falleth. Yea, he should be holding up, for God is able. God's able to make him stand. You know, one of my biggest fears is falling away from Christ. I've seen it happen so many times. It's one of my biggest fears is that I will do it too. And I'm afraid of it because that's what my flesh wants to do. But what joy to rest in Christ. He's able. He is able to make his people stand. All right, now look at 2 Corinthians chapter 9. 2 Corinthians 9, verse 8. And God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that ye always having all sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work. Our God is able to make his grace abound. You know, the Lord doesn't just give his people just barely enough grace to scrape by. He makes his grace abound. So that where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. Now, if you have any desire to comfort my heart, don't talk to me about salvation by my works. Don't talk to me about me pleasing God by my works, because all my works are sinful. If you would comfort the hearts of God's people, talk to them about how God's grace abounds. It super abounds over all of our sin. Then look at Hebrews chapter 2. Our Lord is able to comfort his people, comfort their hearts. Hebrews 2, verse 17. Wherefore in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. For in that he himself hath suffered being tempted, he's able to succor, to comfort them that are tempted. Now the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, became a real man. And since he became a real man, he went through everything, absolutely everything that we go through in this flesh, with the exception of committing sin. He went through sleepless nights spent in prayer. He suffered hatred and ridicule and slander. You know, one of the things he suffered is the false praise of men. You and I fall prey to that. But he didn't. But he suffered all these things. He suffered untold pain and agony to be able to save his people from their sin. And part of the reason he suffered all of that is so that when his people go through the same thing, our Savior is able to say, I know how you feel. I know how you feel. I've been there. And I know just what you need to comfort you. He's able to comfort his people. Now look at Hebrews chapter 7. Our Lord's able to save. Hebrews 7 verse 25. Wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. Our Lord is able to save. He'll save everybody that comes to God through him. Then by all means, come to him, begging for mercy. He's able to completely save the worst of sinners. All right, now look back in our text. I'm about out of time, but I want to give you this quickly in closing. Ephesians chapter 3. Now unto him that's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Now the power that worketh in the believer is the power of the new man. It's the power of the new birth. The same power that God used to raise Christ from the dead is the very same power working in you that believe. That's the power, the same power that raised the dead body of the Lord Jesus from the dead is the same power that gives you spiritual life. That's the power working in you so that the Lord will keep you to the end. Now verse 21. Unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. Now all the glory belongs to Christ because he did all the work. He had to be the one to do all the work because he's the only one able. He's the only one able to do it. Now, if you trust Christ, you see that that's true. He gets all the glory because he did all the work. But what's more, you want it that way. You want Christ to get all the glory. Matter of fact, you need Christ to get all the glory. And let me make good on that. If Christ gets all the glory, what does that mean? He did all the saving for me. Now, if I would end up getting some of the glory, then that means I got to do something to earn it, doesn't it? And I can't do anything to earn it. I can't. No, I need Christ to get all the glory. Because if He gets all the glory, He did all the saving. And that's the Savior that I need. So hearing that Christ gets all the glory, that thrills my soul. Because hearing He does get all the glory tells me not only is He able to save me, not only is He able to do all these things we looked at, He's done them. They're already done. Now come rest in Christ. All right, hope the Lord will bless that to you.